name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name gives sight. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is holy, holy. Jesus, your name brings light. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is life.
Let me ask Brother Jim if you'd come and lead us in prayer, please.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the sunshine and the beautiful weather, Lord. Lord, we just give you praise this morning for who you are. Thank you for your name and what that name means. Lord, just help us to come before you this morning with an open heart and a clean heart to know what you want from this morning's worship, Lord. Just be with the praise band and be with Pastor Fred as they lead us in that this morning. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can be seated. Let's sing this morning, What a Beautiful Name.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed in. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing compares to it. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
It's funny how some things stick in your mind. And this week, I don't know why, but so many times this week, there was one line in here that just kept rolling through my head, and now I can't find it. It's not rolling through my head now. Isn't that great? It says that our sin was great, but your grace was greater. I don't know how many times that went through my head this week. God, my sin was great, but your grace was greater. Aren't you thankful that God has amazing grace? That he forgives and he forgives. And then you know what he does? He forgives again. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. Now that I remember that, that's really good. I'm not having one of those moments. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Let's sing Mighty Cross this morning.
On the day that death surrendered to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ, the earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened skies. On his brow, a crown of sorrows, for a king whose weakness was our strength. No word he spoke, his love was shown for all to see. Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ is the reason I'm alive. For his blood has set me free. It will never lose its power for me. Dawn of resurrection floods the night as hope prevails to shine. Salvation wakes our chains to break, and we arise. Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ is the reason I'm alive. For his blood has set me free. It will never lose its power for me. my victory. It will never lose its power for me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. It's grace that drives us and motivates us to do the things that God has called us to do, and include fulfilling the mission of our church. So I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Now, your bulletin says Acts chapter 2. That was my typo. But it's Acts chapter 20, verse 24. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. You glad to be here? Yeah. All right. Are you awake? Yeah. All right, good. We're going to move forward here as we continue the series called Kiss. Not after the rock band. Not after what my wife tells me about my sermons. Keep it short, stupid. Or Simon or something like that. But it's Keep It Simple, Saints. Keep It Simple, Saints. We've been looking at how to be a ministry-driven church, how to get back to the basics. Today we're looking at the word go, that is, go and serve others and share Christ. Our goal as a church is to win people to Jesus Christ, to connect them to the gospel, to teach them all the truth that's found in God's word, that is, to disciple them, and we focused on that last week, and then to grow and go and win some more. And so our mission is an ongoing circle. Now, if our internet was working, I was going to have them pull that up today, but it's not working. So if you have your iPhone, your Android, or whatever with you, and you can get internet, you can go right to the church website, and you can see that logo on our website. And I want you to visit that often. Every church member should be able to say that if anybody stops you in the hallway and says, what's our mission? Connect, grow, go. Connect, grow, go. And then be able to articulate that some more. And that's what this sermon series has been about. So if you turn with me to Acts chapter 20, since I've asked you to turn there, I guess I should too. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. We sung an awful lot this morning about grace. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word as we receive it today. And Father, we thank you for your grace, your ample grace, your grace that is greater than all of our sin, your grace that forgives us and sets us free. We thank you for your power that enables us, Father, to boldly walk the Christian life, to share our faith, and to be a walking testament of the grace of God. Let your grace shine through us in such a powerful way, Lord, that others can just see that and want that to be a part of their lives, Father. Give us every opportunity to share the grace of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, our website, if you look at the short version of our mission, it says, First Baptist Church exists to help people connect to Jesus Christ and to his church, and to grow our relationship with Christ and each other, and to go on mission, sharing in Mountain Grove and throughout the world. So we have been articulating this mission statement through this series, and it's our desire to connect people to Jesus Christ, to grow his church and to grow in his church, to grow in our relationship with Christ and others, to serve Christ. We want to lead our church to her full potential, her full brightness as a lighthouse in this community. Last week, we examined how our commitment to discipleship and education fell under the grow of our connect, grow, go phrase. Brother Jim and Brother Kent just come back from a few days up in St. Louis with Lifeway, doing a Ministers of Education conference, in which a great part of that focus was on discipleship. And I'm excited about what God's showing them through that, because that's going to come to you as a church. We are going to make this a year that we focus on what it really means to be a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to do more than just win people to Jesus. We want to help them grow in that relationship. And then we want to turn them from disciples into disciple makers. It's an ongoing process that we are involved in. Ministry. So today we're focusing on the word go. Connect, grow, go. It's the last of the three verbs. And under that are three of the stated church purposes that you'll see in our church constitution under this action step. And that is ministry, missions, and evangelism. Ministry, missions, and evangelism. So this KISS series, Keep It Simple Saints, is intended to challenge us with the very core of who we are as a church, but to simplify that and stimulate a healthy evaluation of our ministry, our purposes, our practices, and the power that we're moving in. How are we doing on this mission? Do we know our purpose? Are we fulfilling the purpose of First Baptist Church Mountain Grove? Are we putting into practice what we preach, in other words? Are we moving in the power of His Holy Spirit to boldly share the gospel of Jesus Christ? And we learn that the foundation of this ministry-driven model is a great commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandments. I mentioned last week, I wish I'd have made that up. That comes from Rick Warren's stated purpose of Saddleback Community Church. It's a great way to remember it. Great commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandments. So let's go. Let's go on mission together. Go as we serve together. There are opportunities that abound in our church, opportunities in our community. It may be teaching a class, volunteering at the local food pantry, volunteering at the Pregnancy Resource Center, a summer mission trip, or a local mission project, but we are to be on the go, and this circle completes itself and starts all over again as we help others connect and grow. Now, I mentioned Brother Rick Warren here in just a moment ago. In his book, Purpose Driven Church, he stresses the importance here of each church member taking the purpose of the church personally. And I want you to hear that. I really love how he explains that in his book, that if we take it personally, because any one of us can go to the website and say, okay, the purpose of First Baptist Church Mountain Grove is to connect, grow, go. Say that out a little louder. I just want to be sure that you know it. Connect, grow, go. Thank you very much. That's our purpose. So any one of us could go to that website and say, this is the purpose of First Baptist Church Mountain Grove. But what I want you to be able to do is walk away from this series and say, I'm taking that personally because I am the church at First Baptist Mountain Grove. It's not the purpose of this building to connect people to Jesus Christ. It's not the purpose of this building to grow people in their relationship. It's not the purpose of this building to be on the go. Because this is a building that just facilitates our ministries. It's us. We are the church. So let's take it personally. He stresses that in his book as well. And he shared, Rick Warren has his share of critics. One of the things he gets criticized the most for is his seeker-sensitive church. Forgive him of that. That was back in 1980. And they were trying something, and they realized, in the process, you ask him or Bill Hybels today, and they will tell you they went overboard on seeker-sensitive. We still need to be seeker-sensitive. There's nothing wrong with being sensitive to the seeker. There's nothing wrong with the church knowing the needs of the people they're trying to reach and filling that niche. But the centrality of what we do is to get that seeker to being a disciple. Okay, and so I know he has his share of critics, but I'm saying just, lighten up on him a little bit there, because when it comes to articulating the purposes of the church and how they apply to the body of Christ and to us individually, he is a man with a plan. I love the way he articulates that in his book, Purpose Driven Church. You and I have a responsibility to help this church succeed in her mission. In fact, it's our calling. We are called to go. When you read Matthew, the Great Commission, and when you read the Great Commandment, it's a command to all of us. It doesn't say, preachers, go. Sunday school teachers, go. It says, go, all of us, all inclusive. Go, go, go. So let me highlight some helpful ways that you and I can go. Let's look at some ways that you and I can take our ministry, our mission, our call to evangelism personally. The first thing I want us to see is in 1 Peter 4:10. First Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace, there's that word again, of God. Each one of us has received a gift. So the first thing that we're looking at today is we're to go serving Christ and others with grace. This passage comes in the context that each believer has been given a gift. Do you realize that you are gifted with certain abilities and talents that I don't have? That God can use you in unique ways to articulate the gospel in any given situation, to be able to build a bridge, to build rapport with another person who I may not connect with. But you can. He puts you in unique circles of influence in which you are gifted to be God's spokesperson in that particular situation. David, what if I was the only man standing between you and hell? How serious would I take that? I may be the only person that could have reached David. Somebody reached David that was in a relationship with him and led him to Christ. You may be that somebody. You're in a particular situation where you may be the only person. I mean, I want you to take this seriously and literally. You may be the only person standing between that person and hell. Now, that makes me think about the wonderful grace that's been given to me because I have been saved from hell. I know my new address, the last breath I take, is going to be in heaven. I know that God has shown me great grace and has forgiven me of my sin. Why should I not want to share that grace with another person? And God has gifted me in unique ways to share that in places where you may not be able to, but the same applies in reverse. He's also gifted you. He's put you in situations that I may never be in to communicate the grace of God. He gives us this gift not to be used to our benefit. So many times in some of our religions today, we focus on the gifts of the Holy Spirit as an outward display of look what God is doing in me. But it should be look at what God has done for me and what he's doing through me and what he can do in your life as well. It's to be used in serving others, not to be kept to ourselves. Think about your giftedness. I've seen you guys at work. I've seen gifts in you. I've seen talents in you that I wish I had. I don't. They're not my gifts. They're your gifts. And God's going to use you in that situation. Believers are to pass on the grace that they have experienced. That's why it's important sometimes to stop and think about the moment you came to know Christ. Just stop in this moment for a moment. And remember the time when you came to know Jesus Christ personally. Who was it that played a role in that? What was happening around you? What situation were you in life where you finally realized you needed to look up and see the face of God? You experienced his grace. That's your story. The story of how God's grace transformed your life. And you need to use that story and your gift in the grace in serving. And serving in grace. God has given every believer's gifts with the expectations that they will use them in ministry. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God already has a plan for your life. And when you were brought back into right relationship with him, he has an expectation that you will fulfill that plan. He has an expectation that you will use your gifts in ministry. We are his workmanship. We were created for Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus for good works. How do we serve then? What does serving look like? We serve when we volunteer to teach in a Sunday school class. We serve when we volunteer to help in vacation Bible school or to work with the youth program. We serve when we work in the kitchen. We serve when we put together July 4th outreach. We serve when we go out on the streets with Feed My Sheep. We are serving. We serve when we greet each other in kindness. We serve when we pray for someone. We serve when we work in Jerusalem Changers. And I like to think of that concept for a moment and go broader because this is our Jerusalem. So when I say Jerusalem Changers, it's not just the youth at church camp once a week. It's that every chance we get to change our Jerusalem, we change it. Whether it's through men's ministry, ladies' ministry, the church as a whole, whatever we're doing, we want to change our Jerusalem. We serve when we do anything to impact our Jerusalem. We serve when we go on a mission trip or when we volunteer to help with disaster relief. We serve when we're discipling a friend of ours so that it may grow deeper in their relationship with Jesus Christ. We are serving when we text someone an encouraging message. We are serving when one of our coworkers is having a bad day and we go up to them and give them a word of kindness. We are serving when we mow our neighbor's lawn because they're sick or out of town. Bottom line, we serve because we care for others. Every act of serving is us taking the grace that God has given us and showing it to another person. We serve. We go. We're on mission. We serve in the local church because it's our most sincere expression of faith. We serve when we hear things like Harvey, our hearts are moved and stirred. We serve because God has gifted us and He wants us to use our gifts for His glory. So serving in the local church provides us the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ and to spread the power of the gospel of a changed life. To serve is one of the reasons we exist, and so every believer should be serving intentionally. Intentionally, serving Christ and others. In his book that I referred to earlier, Pastor Rick says that he tells his new church members, you're signing up to serve Christ for the rest of your life. We need to be honest with people when we lead them to Christ. We kind of got into an easy believism. All you have to do is accept Christ and be baptized. No. The first thing you have to do is to receive Christ and to be baptized, and then you need to serve Him as a disciple. We are called to serve. We are gifted to serve. And that service looks in many ways. In a moment, I'm going to give you a challenge, because I know in one area, a lot of times we hesitate because we're afraid we cannot serve in this area. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to serve in one area that every one of you is gifted and qualified to do. I don't care how shy you might be or how extroverted or introverted you might be. We serve. To serve is one of the reasons we exist, and each believer serves intentionally. When you become a Christian, you are signing up for that service for life. The Apostle Paul takes it a little further in our text today. He says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself." Right there you see a major attitude adjustment. He's not living for himself. He's living to serve. And this is what he says. So that I might finish my race with joy, my purpose in life, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. We have each received that ministry. We don't have to be the Apostle Paul. We have all received that ministry. So let's look at that second step there. The second thing I want us to see about going. We go on mission sharing the good news. The text I just read to you from a moment ago, listen to that last phrase. He says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And hear this, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Say that out loud with me. To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That is your ministry. That's your ministry. To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. In agreement with Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where Paul is speaking to the task of evangelism or witnessing here, we are to go into our Jerusalem and our Judeas and our Samarias and all parts of the world. And we again see that our calling is to be ambassadors for Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, 19, verse 19 and 20, 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 20, it says this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I want to tell you something just for a moment, friend. The world needs to know that word, reconciliation. They're lost, and they need to be reconciled into the right relationship that God wanted them to have all along. How are they going to know? How are they going to know that that's even possible? Through you and me, because he goes on to say in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors. That's another word you could substitute for ministers for Christ. We are representatives for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Mountain Grove First Baptist Church has a distinct purpose of evangelism to be fulfilled by your personal calling to testify the good news. Now this week I'm going to preempt next week's message because my toys came in early. I told you I had a gift for you that would help you, a tool that would help you in a task of evangelism. And they came in earlier than promised. I thought, well, I'll just start delivering them today because I want you to use these gifts. Now, each one of you, as you were coming in today, received five cards, right? You have those cards, go ahead and pull them out. I don't want these cards to be in your hand next Sunday. All right? I'm going to give you a task. And that is, I want you to use this card as a tool to invite someone to church. In 2 weeks is Back to Church Sunday, September 17th. Back to Church Sunday. Now, what are we trying to do with Back to Church Sunday? It's an opportunity to say, oh, have you been out of church for a while? Are you not connected to a church? I would like to invite you to come back to church. I want to invite you to come back to church. So with this card, you could go up to literally anybody and give them an invitation to come up to church. Now here's the thing, because this is a tool of evangelism. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't do evangelism very well. I don't really know how. I'm afraid somebody might ask me some tough questions. Well, what's cool is if you flip that card. Now, if all the winners got my name on the card on the front. Says Fred. Okay, everybody else got Jim or Kent's, but no. Just kidding. They'll have one of your staff members' name on the card. It's a great way to just to hand that card to someone and say, hey, do you go to church? You do? Awesome, great. On the back side of this card, okay, and I'll come back to that in a minute. Or you might say, do you go to church? No, not anywhere. I used to. Hey, I'd like to invite you to connect back to church. I'd like to invite you to my church. This is one of our staff members there. If you ever need anything, just call on this church number, and we'll be glad to help you. But just use this card. It's got our address on it. Come see us Sunday. I'd like to invite you back to church. In fact, September 17th, we're having a special day. Just short conversation. Now, if they say, yeah, but, you know, I don't like church because, you know, God's not fair. Or God did this or God did that. So, you know, life has some tough things that happen. There's tough questions. And here's the number one thing that stops people in evangelism. They're afraid somebody's going to ask them a tough question. Somebody's going to ask them a tough question and you may not know the answer to. I get tough questions still today that I don't know the answer to, and I say, you know, let me research that, because I may be considered a walking encyclopedia at times, not. I don't always have a great memory, and I'll have to go back. But here's what's real cool. You can say, on the back side of this card, there's a website. If you'll go to that website, you can ask any question that you have, and there's going to be an answer there. Maybe it's a tough answer about what does God do after I've been through an abortion. Or is Noah's Ark, is that a true story? Maybe you have an archaeology question about the age of the earth. And they're all there. And they go there. And the neat thing about it is if they go to that website and they get the question answered, at the end of it, they'll be encouraged to check out a local church. And on their website, it's a tab that says, find a church. You enter in your zip code, and guess what? Our church pops up there already. Now, we don't have our profile updated all the way yet, but the church is there and the address is there. So, every one of you take one of these cards and you think, well, this is kind of tough. I don't know if I can do this. Rick, I'm going to pick on you. Stand up. Now, you don't go to church anywhere, okay? Contrary to the fact that you're here right now, but okay. Okay. Hey, Rick, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
All right, you go to church anywhere? I'd like to invite you to my church. On the front side of that, it's our address. And I'd like to invite you to check out our website. Come by and see us Sunday, September 17th. We're having a special Back to Church Sunday. And on the back side of that card, something pretty cool, too. If you have any tough questions about life that you would like to ask somebody, just type that question in and you're going to find an answer on there. Right, hope to see you Sunday.
Thank you.
Pretty easy, isn't it? All right. Now, I've used it already because cards came early, so I've been playing with the toy, and I handed one out to a cashier at Walmart, to my waitress at Pizza Hut, and just kind of started a conversation. But there's still been a situation where I was in where I thought, I felt a little weird. I don't know if I want to just hand off a card. That might be a little stupid. That's okay. I already look stupid, so I'm going to give the card out anyway. Thank you. All right, so use that card. Is there anyone here who could not hand out a card this week? How many of you think you could? Just hold me up one of your cards. I can do this week. Okay, I'm not seeing enough hands, by the way. Okay, all right. Okay, truth is when it comes to evangelism, sometimes as low as 20% of people are the only ones evangelizing because the rest, out of fear, hold back. With this card, that stat goes up to about 70%. 70% of you will pass out a card this week. The challenge is, I'm going to ask you next week, how many of you passed out a card? Now, what I'm going to do is challenge you to pass out five. And I'll know that you passed out five because you're going to come back and ask myself or Kent or Jim, give me five. And so we're going to be cool at this church, okay? We're going to be around all the time saying, give me five, man. Okay, give me five, and we know that means you want five more cards to pass out this week. Invite someone to church. It's not that difficult of a thing to do. Sound like a plan?
Yes, amen.
Okay, amen. All right, let's do that. I want you to use that as a tool to invite folks back. Now, we had a little video prepared to show you on some people doing that in action too, and of course our internet's not working, so you know, sometimes we're only as good as our technology, or we have to go behind. But now we as Mountain Grove First Baptist Church exist to connect people to Jesus Christ, to take them deeper in their relationship by getting them into the Word. I would like to see that commitment to take that card and hand it off to someone, that you take that personally to that person, that when you see that person again. For example, my lady at Pizza Hut, there's actually a couple of ladies there, know that when my wife and I walk in, she knows it's two wild cherry Pepsis and the lunch buffet, because it's a Friday tradition that we go out to lunch at Pizza Hut because my wife loves pizza and I kind of do. I'm not a pizza fanatic, but it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make for her. But it's our Friday date because it works out good with her school schedule, and we meet up for lunch and we go to pizza. So I've started a connection with this person. So I'm not just going to hand her a card once and then never talk to her again about it. I'll be following, hey, did you check out any questions on that? And building a conversation, build some rapport. So I want to challenge you that not just only to pass out a card, but then use it as an opportunity just to connect with someone. Some of the cards you pass out will be to a complete stranger. I passed one out at Walmart to a person I'll probably never see again because they were set up for one of those displays to sell straight talk telephone service. And she wasn't from here. She was just a representative. But she tried to spiel on me, and I listened to it and everything, and took the brochure. And then I said, hey, I got something for you. And I reached in my pocket. I handed her the card. I said, now, I don't know if you're in Mountain Grove very often or not, but anytime you're in Mountain Grove, come by and check out our church. On the back side of that is some straight talk about God. Did you catch that? Straight talk. Okay, so you look for something like that you can build a rapport. Now, I got some of that from the telephone company when I worked there. I used to always look for something I could key in and make a connection and make a transfer over to what I wanted to talk about. And had a nice conversation with this young lady. So look for those opportunities. But so some of them will be complete strangers. That's all right. Pass that card out. You might be in St. Louis or Colorado or California and pass that card out. That's okay, because they may not come to your church, but if they go to that website on the backside, it'll take them to a local church. So you're evangelizing for the kingdom of God as well. So great opportunity. I want to see you putting that tool to the test. Now, the truth is, as a church family, we are all impacted by the power and the grace of the gospel. Amen? We're impacted by life-changing power of the gospel that we received because we connected to God. And we know that as we grow in our relationship with Him, the more that we discover, the deeper that connection goes. And we want to take someone else on that journey. But in order to do that, we got to go. We got to be on the go. Let's stand together today. And I want to do a little something about closing out a little different today. First of all, I want you to know the invitation is open right now. There may be someone here today that says, you know what, Pastor, I haven't connected. How can I help another person connect to God when I haven't made that connection myself? And today I realize I need to connect to God. I need to have that same grace that Paul experienced in his life, the same grace that was sung about this morning. I need that grace in my life. I need hope. I need a new direction. I want you to know today you can have it. Right now where you stand, you can call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. And you can be saved. Right now, you can say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. Because I know that you have grace. I heard about it this morning. And that grace can cover any sin I've done. Amen. And so I want to lay my sin at the foot of your cross and ask for your grace to pour out on me. And I want to give you my life. I want to connect with you. And then I want to go deep and connect with a great family church. I want to connect with a church that can help me go deeper in my walk with the Lord. Today, would you make that decision? Would you commit to Him now? And maybe you've made that decision to follow Christ, but you've not connected with the church. And it's time to do that. It's time to become a part of the movement of God. Would you do that today? Would you connect with this church family, with us, and let's go deeper in the Word. Let's disciple one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's go deep in the Word of God, and then let's be so pumped by that and so filled with the power of His Holy Spirit that we cannot leave this place without wanting to tell someone else about the grace that God showed us in our life. The altar is open. It is open. Let's take a moment just to sing.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting He passed, and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more has dominion, for more than conquerors we are.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face.
Full in His wonderful face.
And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim.
And the things of earth will grow strangely
dim. In the light of His glory and grace.
In the light
Amen.
Of His glory and grace.
Amen. The invitation is always going. I want you to know that we've had some folks come forward today. I know Julie wants to unite with the membership of our church. And then we have some other decisions being made here, too, that I'll give some further counsel to, of giving lives to Christ. And so we'll be testifying in that as well. So I look forward to meeting with you guys and being able to talk about that as well. But and Julie, I talked with the other day, and she's ready to unite with the membership of the church. And so we'll be presenting her at our next family meeting as well. So let's just give them a hand of fellowship now. In just a couple minutes, we're going to be dismissing, after we follow through the rest of the protocol here. But before we close out the invitation, I want to do one more thing. Next week, I'll be preaching a message called Give Me Five. And so I want you to get in groups of five now. If it runs to four, one of you are going to have to double up and be a fifth person, or invite the Holy Spirit. There you go. Then you got five. But groups of five, just kind of turn in groups of five, because you're going to pray for each other in your cards right now. Okay, group of five. We'll allow groups as small as three. Three to five. Just five works so well. Yeah, three to five. Okay. Now point somebody in that group to pray for your group, okay? I want one person in each group just to pray right now for the opportunity to share your card this week. All five cards, but at least one opportunity to have a gospel conversation out of that. Go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to hold these cards in our hands and already know that, looking ahead, Father, you know where these cards are going to land. And so, Father, we pray for that opportunity to place that card in a hand that changes their life eternally. Father, we pray that we can see the kingdom grow as a result of a simple invitation. Just like you gave, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Okay. We're going to be receiving the offering at this time. If we could have the ushers come forward, and you can be seated.
As the ushers come forward, too, I want to remind you there are no evening services tonight. Enjoy your family.
Let's stand together this morning and sing At Your Name.
At Your Name, the mountains shake and crumble. At Your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At Your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout Your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout Your name, O Lord. At Your name, the morning breaks in glory. At Your name, creation sings Your story. At Your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout Your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout Your name, O Lord. There's no one like our God, we will praise you, there's no one like our God, we will sing, there is no one like our God, we will praise you, there's no one like our God, we will sing, Lord of all the earth, we shout Your name, skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord.
Lord of all the earth,
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord.
You're dismissed.
Come on down and welcome our new friends.